The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Michael McNamara is with me now. He's an independent MEP for the Ireland South constituency. Michael, you're welcome to the show. I understand you have a concern that the prospective European Union membership for Ukraine is possibly moving ahead at too great a pace. Is that fair?
I know. I mean, what I'm primarily concerned about is the new law that's been passed in Ukraine, which means that the anti-corruption agency is no longer independent and is under the control of a political appointee. I think many would see that as setting back attempts to combat corruption in Ukraine. I mean, Ukraine, like many countries that are looking to join the European Union, like Bosnia, Serbia, Albania, Armenia, struggles with corruption and organized crime, you know, which I suppose became endemic after the fall of the Soviet Union and the Eastern governments. Countries, I say all countries are seeking to stem that. All countries are making some advances, but none of them are particularly startling. And unfortunately, I suppose last night's measure will probably hamper attempts to combat corruption. And it is one of the essential aspects that countries have to achieve in order to join the European Union. I mean, it is that there are extensive acquis put in place, and the reporting that the Commission have provided on Ukraine's preparedness wouldn't indicate that they are in any way prepared. I mean, there's a very similar reports in respect of Ukraine to Serbia, for example, whereas nobody's talking about accelerating Serbia's accession to the European Union, but I suppose part of that is the politics of it, and the fact that the government in Serbia is now decidedly less Western looking than maybe had been.
Yeah, so this is, for people who maybe didn't follow that original story, I should have explained it. It's a bill that President Zelensky signed that critics of it say it weakens kind of the independence of different anti-corruption bodies in the country. And do you fear, Michael, that maybe that type of thing, those types of concerns are, if not glossed over, maybe they're not given the due regard because of the political situation, because people are so kind of keen to show support for Ukraine, given what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. And I mean, there was a similar mistake, or at least it was regarded by many as a mistake in the European Union in 2007, that Romania and Bulgaria were joined the European Union on the 1st of January, arguably before they were ready to join the European Union, before they had properly gotten a handle on corruption there, and measures were introduced thereafter to try to deal with it. A mechanism was called a Mechanism for Cooperation and Verification, which was introduced by the European Union to look to combat corruption and organized crime in those countries. But I mean, its success was really very limited, because I suppose that there was perhaps less of an incentive to combat it at that point, and I suppose because they were inside the European Union already. I mean, it does unfortunately remain a problem, particularly in Bulgaria, corruption and organized crime. And there is, of course, the fear that could be replicated with Ukraine if a decision is made to allow them to join before they are ready.
Anatoly Primakov is with us as well, the director of Ukrainian Action in Ireland. Anatoly, can you understand the concerns as Michael has them?
Thanks for having me. Yes, I totally understand the concerns. And the bill that Zelensky has just signed is deeply unpopular with all of the civil society groups in Ukraine, which is why a lot of people would have been protesting it last night. However, what I would like to add to that is that there's a feeling across Europe and across Ukrainian communities in Europe that Ukraine is more than ready to join the European Union, and it has been for a while. And particularly over the last couple of years, after Ukraine has proven that Ukraine is willing to defend the rest of Europe by waging that war against Russia, which a lot of Ukrainians see as war a lot against Europe overall.
And what remains to be done from your point of view in terms of reform within Ukraine then to finalize that that picture, or does anything else need to be done?
Personally, I don't think there's a need to wait for anything else to be done. I think no country is perfect, and I don't think that much will be gained by waiting a lot longer, because like we would have seen from examples of Romania and Bulgaria, that countries have joined before without those specific things that are being demanded from Ukraine, and those countries are now fully fledged members of the European Union, and so to speak, the world didn't end, right? And of particular importance, I think, is the fact that the Ukrainian society is incredibly pro-European and believes in European values. A lot of countries and a lot of the politicians speak about European values across, across Europe, in Brussels and European capitals. However, Ukrainian nation is the only nation in Europe who is willing to actually fight for those values with weapons in their hands. And I think that has been overlooked when conversations like this happen about Ukraine joining the EU.
Michael, are we overlooking that reality?
I don't believe so. I mean, I think any country that's any country that's invaded is willing to fight to defend itself and has an absolute right to defend itself, as Ukraine is doing. But this is not what this is about. This is about, unfortunately, Ukrainian Transparency International's reporting of Ukraine suggests that it is not going in the right direction with regard to corruption. It slipped a little bit last year and isn't making the advances that are required. The European Commission's own reporting, based on their technical analysis, suggests that it's not making the advances that are required. Yes, there is a political impetus, but I don't believe a political impetus should ignore the realities of preparedness. I mean,
are we expecting too much of a country that is fighting an invasion to continue to make those kind of civil society advances ongoing?
It's very frequently in the aftermath of a war or invasion, you have huge social turmoil, you have a lot of guns in an area, you have a lot of organised crime, and that does pose a risk, not just within the country, but it poses a risk without the country and to countries that surround it. It could pose a risk right across the European Union of organised crime. That's not something that I would like to see, but it's not infrequent. Mm. I mean, it's what we saw in the aftermath of the conflict in Bosnia. I mean, if fighting a war are being brutalized is the criteria to join the European Union, then clearly, as we talk about 20 years of Srebrenica, then of course Bosnia should be within the European Union. But we're saying that Bosnia can't join the European Union because they're not combating corruption adequately. So, I mean, it's a matter of applying standards equally. And, I mean, it essentially means that you become part of a super state with Ukraine. And there are many, I think, in the European Union who question whether that's a good idea right now, although they might like to see it happen. Measures have to be taken. And these measures, I mean, you can't start to say because there's a war going on that we can't combat corruption. I mean, this, no matter what civil society want, this law that's been signed by the president is a step in the wrong direction. We've often seen civil society stand up for democratic norms, but that doesn't mean that they are able to bring about a fully democratic and corruption-free society.
Anatoly, can I just ask you about this piece of legislation? As you said right at the outset, kind of deeply unpopular with a lot of Ukrainians, and we'll have seen the images of those protests. What was the rationale in favour of signing it?
The rationale was to, believe, as rationalized by Ukrainian government, is that it would bring all of those agencies together under united guidance. But like I said, the civil society is not buying that. It sees it as limiting those agencies' power.
And what does the Zelensky government stand accused of? Why would they want, as in those critics of his government, say, leading those protests, why do they say he is seeking to limit the power of those anti-corruption bodies?
Well, that's the whole part of it. That's the whole point here is that there's an argument between the government and the society, whereas it's deeply unpopular with the society, but the government is saying that it doesn't limit the powers. It's saying that it's a good thing that they're trying to unite the effort, but the society is not buying that rhetoric and that excuse, and they see it for what it is. And that is the reason for the process, because there's a disagreement on what is actually happening between the society and the government.
Anatoly, listen, thanks a million for the explanation and for joining us. Anatoly Primakov is the Director of Ukrainian Action in Ireland, and Michael McNamara, an independent MEP for the Ireland South constituency.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.